there have been some positive measures taken by the government to address torture. We are seeing some tangible impacts of the steps taken by the government over the last 2 years. But while it's good to see that there's some progress, the overall figures for torture and ill treatment of conflict-related detainees are still disturbingly high.
In the sense that one in three detainees, 600 plus detainees who UNAMA contacted the UN mission in Afghanistan, one in three say they were tortured. In what way were they tortured, please?
Yeah. They were tortured principally by beatings, mainly by beatings with pikes and tables, including on the feet, which is very painful but doesn't leave any marks. Now, in some particular locations, there were also other forms of torture, perhaps even more serious, including with electric shocks, with suspension from ceilings, various types of stress positions for extended periods of time, pulling of genitals, reported threats of death and other forms of sexual violence, and also a very common form in particular locations in Kandahar included being suffocated with either plastic bags over the head or with water poured down the throat. And one common form was being covered by a blanket, people sitting on the person's back, and while being also simultaneously suffocated with a plastic bag.
Okay, so that sounds absolutely horrific, and yet UNAMA is saying, along with the Office for the High Commissioner for Human Rights, that this is an improvement since the last report, which I think was in 2016, and you first started reporting on this in 2010.
Yeah, that's in the previous report, and this is the fifth report, you're quite right, since the work started in 2010. This is the first time there's actually been some improvement in that it's true that a disturbing one in three, 32%, down, however, from 39%, 4 out of 10, in the previous report 2 years ago. And it does seem that, in particular in 2018, there was some progress in that among those interviewed in 2018, 27% reported torture or ill treatment. So, you know, I think our headline is that there's some progress, but there's a very long way to go. There was progress also at the normative and legislative level in that in 2018, Afghanistan acceded to the optional protocol for the Convention Against Torture, and that is why we chose today, 17th of April, because it is 1 year since the optional protocol was acceded to, and we are encouraging Afghanistan to establish a national preventive mechanism as they're required to do so.
Can I just jump in there, Richard, just to ask, what is the state's ability and capacity to actually help improve this? Obviously, there's a willingness to do so, but how capable is it of actually achieving what it needs to?
Yeah, it also established an anti-torture commission nationally last year. It legislated against torture in a torture law. So the state seems to be taking or is taking some steps at a high level. It needs to do more, and there has been training. There have been establishment of mechanisms within the key agencies responsible for torture, including the NDS, which is the intelligence agency, the police, and the military. So there are some steps in the right direction to develop capacity. We have found, however, that what we call key procedural and other legal safeguards, that the authorities are often failing to uphold them. This includes, for example, access to lawyers, contact with the family, medical screening, and information on rights for detainees, as well as proper investigations to follow up when there are complaints of torture and ill treatment. We find that perpetrators are rarely held to account, or if they are, the measures taken for such a serious crime are very light, and that victims are really told about progress or outcome of their cases, which remain mainly opaque.
Can I also just ask, and sorry to interrupt, about accountability, because it doesn't sound like, well, it was certainly one of the features of the report, and High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has said there must be accountability, otherwise this kind of thing will never stop. But that's not particularly a new message, is it? So what are your main hopes, having released this fifth report?
Our main hopes are that the commitments made at the normative and legislative level, internationally and domestically, are actually implemented in practice. So we're not seeing enough of that yet. We have seen some signs of accountability, with apparently some people removed from positions, according to the government response to the report. But we are seeing very little, if any, serious investigations or prosecutions. Torture is now a crime in this country, but many steps need to be taken on accountability at the criminal justice level. We've also found that nearly all of the detainees who report torture say that the torture or ill treatment stops once they've confessed. And this kind of culture is very concerning. Confessions obtained under torture are essentially worthless, and they are legally excluded as evidence in a court. And so that is another thing where much change needs to take place. It is illegal to use torture to obtain a confession.
Do you think that those who are perpetrating these abuses actually realise that? Is it a case of educating everyone in detention centres that it just won't hold water in a court of law?
I think it's connected, and I think you're right. Education and training are absolutely necessary. There has been a long-standing practice of using torture to obtain confessions, and I think that making clear that this is unacceptable, illegal, contrary to the penal code, may have better results. I think we are starting to see better results in 2018, particularly with the intelligence service, the NDS, and we note that they do seem to have introduced better training and policies on torture.